I want to invite you to turn with me in your pew Bibles to the book of Revelation, the last book in the Bible, Revelation chapter 3. Revelation 3, and we'll begin reading at verse 14. As the gems have been reflecting together this past year on that theme, Feed the Fire, one of the texts that has been a focus for them is verses that come out of this particular sermon to the church in Laodicea. Chapter 3 of Revelation, beginning at verse 14. This is the Word of God. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, "These are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, 'I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing.' But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear, so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes, so you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline, so be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Thus far, our reading from God's Word. As I reflected this past week on this particular sermon to the Church of Laodicea, one of seven sermons that were given to John, which were then shared with seven different churches, I thought, boy, this is a pretty heavy message to give to the Gems and to all of us on a day when we celebrate the Gems ministry. This is a pretty heavy message. This sermon calls all of us to pause, because the message is very strong, and we're going to go through it together. You've been focusing this past year on the theme, Feed the Fire. And one of the things that I saw when I was reflecting on some of the material that you were looking at as gems was the word passion. And that word was used to remember some of the ways in which we can kindle a passion for Christ in each one of our hearts. Now, this particular passage addresses something that I think is the very opposite of a passionate faith. And using the language of this sermon, it's a lukewarm faith. Jesus writes to this particular church and to all of us and says, "Let go of your lukewarm faith." Now, as you know, most of us, this was one of seven sermons, and they were preached to seven churches that were on the western side of Laodicea. These sermons, I'm looking for a slide here, and I don't see it. It's not working. Can we just index it by the keyboard? Nothing's working. Oh, that's a pity. The whole PowerPoint's out. All right. Well, these sermons were addressed to seven different churches, and they were located on what today is the western side of the country of Turkey. And Laodicea was one of the cities, the seventh that was written to, But it was a city that was part of a tri-city arrangement. In fact, there were two other cities very nearby Laodicea, one called Hierapolis to the north, and the other Colossae to the south, to the southeast. And Laodicea was located right between these two important cities. And as we listen to this letter, then we're going to hear of some of the significant features of Laodicea, especially as it compared to these other two cities, Hierapolis and Colossae. Now, when we look, I got to adjust a little bit because some of my manuscript is assuming that we have pictures to look at, and it's very unfortunate that they're not there. So, when people were in the city of Laodicea and they looked to the north, they could see these white calcium deposits on the side of Hierapolis, the city that was about 6 miles to the north. And those calcium deposits were created because of hot water springs that were under the city of Hierapolis. Hot water springs that seeped to the surface. In fact, Hierapolis was very well known for its hot water springs, and people would come to that city and sit in the springs and receive a kind of medicinal healing from the water that was rich with minerals. Hierapolis was known for its hot water, a healing kind of water. And you could see the deposits on the side of the city of Hierapolis. To the south, Colossae, that city was known for its refreshing cold water. In fact, there was a mountain, Mount Cadmus, that was close to Colossae, and water that flowed from the glaciers on Mount Cadmus came to the city of Colossae, and so that city had an abundance of cold, refreshing water. But Laodicea, though it was known for some good things, was known especially for its lousy water. It's lukewarm water. And the reason why Laodicea had lukewarm water is because it had no glaciers that water could flow from. Ah, keep going. Next slide. Next slide. There's the calcium deposits on the side of Hierapolis. You can see them off in the distance. That's the city of Laodicea, the ruins of it in modern-day Turkey. Next slide. Now, there was no water that was available from Mount Cadmus to come all the way to Laodicea, but they could get water from another city that also had hot springs. Not Hierapolis, but a city to the south that was a little bit higher than Laodicea. And you can see these pipes. These are called aquifers. And these pipes were built from a city to the south all the way into Laodicea. But what went through those pipes was hot water. It started out very hot in that particular city to the south. And by the time it came to Laodicea, it was lukewarm. Because it was so hot, it was filled with minerals. In fact, if you look at these pipes, there's another slide showing some of the pipes as well. If you look at those pipes today, you'll find all kinds of mineral deposits on the inside of the pipe. Sometimes they clogged up because of all the minerals that were coming with this water. And that's what made this water not only lukewarm, but taste lousy, because there was so many minerals in it. In fact, Jesus, when he writes this letter to Laodicea, he says, I wish you were hot. And they would right away know of the hot springs in Hierapolis, where people would find healing from the hot waters. Or, I wish you were cold. And they would right away think of Colossae to the south, where there was refreshing cold water that brought life. But you Laodiceans, you're lukewarm. And because of that, I want to not spit. I want to vomit you out of my mouth. I wish you were hot or cold, but you're lukewarm. And I want to vomit you out of your mouth. You can see how this sermon to the Laodiceans speaks very specifically to their context, where they're located. Now, why do you think the Laodiceans were lukewarm. Well, the letter actually helps us understand that, this sermon. And I'm going to ask three gems to come up and help me display these three reasons why this particular church was lukewarm. You don't have to do anything. You just got to sit in three chairs. So maybe three girls at the very front here wouldn't mind coming and helping me display. One, two, and three. Okay, you three ladies, come on up. Oh, dear. Sorry, that woke up everybody. All right. Thank you, ladies. Now, if you look carefully in that letter that we just read, you'll get some clues as to why the Laodicean Christians were lukewarm. Because there was some things that the Laodicean city was really well known for. And one of them was the fact that it was a banking center. The city of Laodicea was a very wealthy city, known for its banks. It was located on trade routes. Two trade routes, a north-south trade route, which you can see on the map, and an east-west trade route. And because of that, it was a center for all kinds of trade activity, and it had very good banks. In fact, one Roman statesman and philosopher by the name of Ciro, very well known, really, he writes about how he deposited treasury bills in one of the banks in Laodicea because it was such a good bank. In the year 60 AD, there was this huge earthquake that actually destroyed much of the city of Laodicea, not unlike the kind of earthquake that happened on the coast of Japan and in other places. And Laodicea, because of their wealth, refused any other countries to give them financial aid to rebuild the city. It's interesting because about 70 years before, they had an earthquake and they received all kinds of money from Rome to help rebuild at that time. But in the year 60 AD, because presumably of their wealth, they refused aid. In fact, one person was quoted as saying this: Laodicea arose from the ruins by the strength of their own resources, with no help from us, that being Rome. Laodicea was a city known for its banking, and so we'll keep that in mind. Presumably because of their wealth, because they didn't need help, maybe that gave them a lukewarm kind of faith, not really depending on God. Another thing that Laodicea was very well known for was its cloth, its textiles. There's a particular sheep that was part of or present in Laodicea, and you can see how this particular black sheep gave off a very soft raven black wool that was used to make various kinds of textiles. Laodicea was well known for its clothing, its textile industry. And because of that, they were popular within the region. Many people came and sought this special black cloth. And so I'm going to have you wear those clothes. She doesn't like the color black. Now, another thing that Laodicea was known for was its medical school. And we have some ruins of that medical school. In particular, we have a little statue of the moon god Menre. Menre was a Greek god, and he was connected to this medical school because this god, it was believed, offered healing and prosperity. And in particular, in this medical school in Laodicea, there was a salve, an ointment, that was especially believed to promote eyesight. They didn't have glasses like we do, and so when people's eyes failed, they were really at a disadvantage. But in Laodicea, there was a particular salve, an ointment, that you would rub on people's eyes. And as you rub that ointment on people's eyes, they could see better. Laodiceans were known for this patented ointment, or salve. And as you read through the language of that letter, you get some sense that Jesus is speaking to them very specifically. Because the Laodiceans, when he says, you're lukewarm, they say, we are. We're wealthy. We have enough money to rebuild our city after an earthquake. We have clothes to wear. We're well known for the kind of textiles we have. And we have a special ointment that helps us see clearly. But what does Jesus say to them? You're wretched and poor. You're naked. And you're blind. Jesus suggests in this letter very strongly that though you may think you are wealthy and well-clothed, that you have good sight, spiritually speaking, you're lukewarm. There's a kind of smug self-sufficiency that has crept into the church. And if that lukewarm, smug self-sufficiency continues, Jesus says, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. Strong words. Very strong words, in fact. Now, as we think about the message of Jesus to the Laodicean church, how might we hear it today in our day? How might this look for us? One writer said that this particular church in Laodicea needed an injection of Christ's resurrection power, since they are in the worst condition of all the churches that were mentioned. Strong language. How might this look for us today? How might we, in the way that we live our lives, be kind of lukewarm towards God and towards the things that He calls us to do in this life? Well, maybe for some of us, we might say, well, I got it all. Hey, I got a laptop. I got a cell phone. I got an iPod. What more do I need? I'm all set. I got all the things that make me fit in, that make me connected to my friends or to the world. I don't have need of anything more. Or we might say, you know, I got all the right clothes. I got Aeropostale clothes. I got American Eagle clothes. I got Hollister clothes. I fit in with all my friends. I look good. Everybody looks at me and they think I look good. Maybe there's a sense in which that creates in us a kind of lukewarmness towards the things of God, because we're so focused on what other people think of us. Or maybe, as is true for a lot of people in the world that we live in the culture that we live in, they are maybe rather indifferent towards the things of Christ and His kingdom. Oh, they like spirituality. They want to be spiritual. They want to be connected with whatever higher power is there. But they're going to take care of that themselves, thank you very much. And so they buy books like Your 10-Step Guide to Spiritual Peace. They're going to create spiritual sight for themselves. A lot of people in our day might have a book like that on their shelf. But Jesus says to the church in Laodicea and to the church in our day that would think, because of our wealth, because of the way that we appear, because of our own ability to find that higher power and that greater connection to something spiritual, we might think we're wealthy, well-clothed, and rich. But Jesus says to us, you're wretched, you're poor, you're naked, and you're blind. You're lukewarm. I wish you were hot or cold, healing, refreshing. But because you're lukewarm, I want to spit you out of my mouth. I told you that this is a strong letter. It's a very strong letter. It makes all of us pause, because all of us wonder in our own life how we are lukewarm towards the things of Jesus Christ and His kingdom. But there's something amazing that happens in this letter. There's something amazing that happens. We can relate to these kinds of things. In fact, there's a quote in a recent banner that talks about how we are lukewarm to the things of the kingdom, lukewarm to the things of Jesus Christ. Sylvia Kiesmatt wrote it in an article in the Banner just a couple of months ago. And I want you to listen carefully to what she writes.
Many of us have a pretty good life. Jobs that put food on the table, holidays by the lake or seashore, enough clothes to keep us warm in the winter, a house or apartment with enough space for us and our toys, and safety. We don't worry too much about whether we or our families will be alive in the morning. In such a situation, the question of the coming of the kingdom just isn't that pressing. We have it pretty good right now. Sure, we want to be with Jesus someday, but not just yet. We have a movie or two we want to see and a trip we want to take before Jesus returns. It is no wonder that our lives aren't that different from those of our secular neighbors. We go to church on Sunday, but the rest of the week, we look just like everybody else.
I think that that describes a lukewarm kind of Christian pretty well. And though Jesus has some strong words about what he wants to do with lukewarm Christians, the amazing thing is that after he talks about what they're like, he gives them a gracious invitation. He says, I have wealth, I have gold refined with the fire. Come, buy it from me. I have white robes. Not black. I have white robes that you can receive from me. And I have salve for your eyes that will give you spiritual sight. Come. Come. I stand at the door and knock. I love you. I love you deeply, and my greatest desire is to sit at a table with you and feast with you and supply you all that you need. I want to give you gold refined with the fire. I want to give you lives that are pure, that are set free from sin, that are set free from our lukewarm tendencies. I want to give you clothing that is righteous clothing, that's holy clothing, that will allow you to display the character of the kingdom brightly. The character of compassion and of love and of truth and of justice. I want you to display that brightly. And I want you to be able to see the things of God. Come to me. I stand at the door and knock. And in this letter, the way that we open the door for Jesus to come in is by confessing to him, by getting rid of those things that create in us a lukewarm faith. Those things need to be put in the fire and consumed so that what can come out of the fire is a pure faith, an undivided faith. That's called repentance. And what I'd like for each of you to do very carefully, especially the one with my wife's laptop, is lay all of these things next to the fire that's right here. Can you guys do that? Just come and lay at the fire the book and the clothing and the technology. Those things that would threaten to give us a lukewarm faith, we must confess to God. We must lay them at the fire so that they can be consumed, so that God can kindle in us. You can go back down there. Thanks, girls. You did great. We must lay those things at the fire so that God can take away a lukewarm faith and give us a faith that burns hot for Christ, a kind of faith that brings refreshment, living water that bursts forth, that nourishes, that quenches. Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. Will you open the door? Will you repent? Will you let me come in? giving you gold and clothing and eyes that see. For my desire is to feast with you. My desire is to invite you to a table, to take of the cup, of the bread, the nourishment that I can give. Let go of the lukewarm faith. Come alive with the fire of the Holy Spirit living in you, with the cool, refreshing, living waters flowing through you. That is a passionate faith, a faith that responds to the great love of God for us. I don't know about you, Gems, but that's the kind of faith I pray for. Because you know what happens when we together as a community display a passionate faith, a faith that cares deeply for the poor, that cares deeply for injustice in our world and tries to address it, that loves people unconditionally, that prays for people regularly, that searches the scriptures for God's truth, a hot faith. When people see that, or a faith that overflows with the Holy Spirit's living water, that brings refreshment, that brings nourishment, when people see that, lives are changed and hope bursts forth in really powerful ways. That's the kind of faith that Jesus calls us to receive. And my prayer is for you and for all of us here this morning that we will open the door so that Jesus can come in and sit down with us and nourish our faith so that it is hot with healing and cold with refreshment. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, by your Holy Spirit, we pray that you would create in us a clean heart, that you would take away those things in our life or those things that we believe which contribute to a lukewarm faith. We pray that you will take those things away as we lay them before you so that they can be consumed by your purifying fire. Forgive us, we pray. And fill us with a faith that burns brightly for the kingdom and flows freely with refreshing water. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.